Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into my podcast every Wednesday with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com as we discuss what's happening in the minor leagues and the major leagues. For the St. Louis Cardinals, the winter meetings are in full swing. Gerrit Cole has been signed. Steven Strasburg signed. Well, what does it mean for the minor leagues, though? There's a lot of business that happens in San Diego this week concerning minor league baseball. And the biggest note on that agenda would be the elimination, potentially, of some teams. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about Ted Simmons being elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame. Could Keith Hernandez be next for the St. Louis Cardinals? We'll talk about that. And finally, we'll get into the top prospect of the St. Louis Cardinals, Dylan Carlson. Could he make the club out of spring? And the outfielder logjam that the Cardinals currently have. All that and more coming up with Brian Walton. It's the holiday season. We're coming to you in brilliant clarity thanks to Lordo's Diamonds. See their selection, men's and women's jewelry. And if you hear it on this podcast and mention my name or Scoops with Danny Mac, get additional money off at Lordo's Diamonds, lordosdiamonds.com. Coming up, we visit with Brian Walton.
Are you trying to find the sports fan in your life the perfect holiday gift? Why not think about tickets to the 8th annual Evening with the Cardinals coming up on January 11th at St. Louis Union Station Grand Ballroom. This year it features Ted Simmons and Ozzie Smith. Dinner, auction, private photo session with the two legends, and hear them reminisce about their careers. Get your tickets at thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. It's an Evening with the Cardinals, January 11th, thenccs.org.
As always on a Wednesday, it's great to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Thecardinalnation.com never stops 24/7, 7 days a week. That even includes Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Brian Walton has great, and I mean great, minor league and major league content on the St. Louis Cardinals every day at his site. Do yourself a favor. If you're a Cardinal fan, sign up, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, it's been a couple of weeks. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. You enjoying the holidays?
I am. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you.
Let's jump right into it. The winter meetings have begun. They're in the middle of it right now. There has been some movement, which is good, but from a Cardinal perspective, great movement because it means Ted Simmons has been elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame, and it looks like the committee got this one right, at least in my opinion.
You know, there were a number of very good candidates for the Hall of Fame. In fact, my view is that all the guys, you know, that were up had a good case. That's why they're candidates for the Hall of Fame. But realistically, I don't know if the voters get three or five picks, but, you know, they go through a discussion where they, of course, look at stats, and then the members of the committee discuss the merits of the various candidates. And, you know, we're talking about people who understand baseball very well. I mean, former players like a George Brett, for example, members of the media. And so, you know, it isn't just something that people took very lightly. And this time around, you know, Ted Simmons, who was one vote short of the 12 of 16 that he needed, this time got in. And, of course, Marvin Miller, the most influential union leader, arguably, in the history of sports, finally got in. And that was another one that was overdue. But, you know, great for Cardinals fans to see Ted Simmons go in the Hall of Fame. And you know, the interview that hopefully everybody went to your site to see, you know, he was very, very candid about, you know, what baseball has meant to his career and what the Hall of Fame would mean to him. And it's just, you know, delightful to see Ted Simmons get in, and you can tell how much it means to him.
It means so much to him. And I thought his response when I asked him, you know, if you don't get in, what would it mean to you? And he was very introspective and very respectful of the process. But now that he's in, he doesn't have to answer that question anymore. And you could just see in the interviews the last 24 hours, Brian, how relieved he is. I mean, you can just see it's just a weight lifted off his shoulders, and it's like now there really is nothing more that I need to do to solidify my baseball life if you're Ted Simmons.
And, you know, it's not anything that you like to talk about, and I'm certainly don't want to be insensitive, folks to think I'm insensitive, but, you know, you want to see guys stand up and get the honor while they're still with us, while they can appreciate it. You know, I felt so bad for Ron Santo, for example.
Exactly.
You know, the Cubs third baseman, who, you know, unfortunately wasn't voted into the Hall of Fame until he'd left us. And, you know, it just felt cheated. So, you know, I'm sure whatever speech Ted Simmons is going to give in Cooperstown, you know, at the end of June is going to be, you know, fantastic.
In terms of the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and Ted was already a member of that, I'm really curious about your thoughts, because Well, there's a bunch of things that come to mind that now that Ted is in the Hall of Fame. But I started thinking of Keith Hernandez as being a Major League Hall of Famer, and I think it's going to happen. He's got to be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame at some point. But where do you stand on Keith on both of those, the Cardinals Hall of Fame and Major League Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yes, I was just talking to somebody about that the other day because Keith Hernandez is one of those guys who hasn't yet made the veterans ballot. Now, you know, there'll be a greater opportunity next time because Marvin Miller and Ted Simmons won't be on it. But you know, among the veterans committees, he hasn't even got yet onto the list for consideration. So it's going to be some time for Keith Hernandez to make Cooperstown. I think the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and again, you know, I'm probably older than the average fan, so I remember Keith Hernandez and Ted Simmons playing very well. And, you know, I have never seen in my lifetime a better defensive first baseman than Keith Hernandez. And the bat, the numbers speak for themselves. Now, you know, of course, he got traded under not the best circumstances to the New York Mets. And some younger people who maybe didn't start to follow baseball until the mid-80s saw him as the leader of the pond scum, right? The team that the Cardinals was their biggest rival. But you look at those 10 years that Keith Hernandez delivered for the St. Louis Cardinals, and, you know, you'd find a very hard time, you know, picking any of the other candidates. Nothing against the other candidates. But, you know, I really hope fans vote him in 2020.
I do, too. And I've asked Keith, I said, are you a Met or a Cardinal? And then he always says, let me look around. And he says, I'm really a Cardinal. I'm a Cardinal at heart. He grew up a Cardinal. He met Stan the Man when he was a young kid growing up in the San Francisco area. And his dad introduced him to Stan from playing pro ball. And he considers himself having learned the game in the Cardinal system. And like you, I'm a little bit older. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I am a little bit older to remember watching Keith Hernandez. He was an unbelievable defensive first baseman, and I'm in agreement with you. In my opinion, and I've said this on the air, he is the greatest defensive first baseman I've ever seen, and it's not even close how good he is. And that's what I hope fans know.
If there are any fans out here listening, you know, maybe the wintertime's a good time to, you know, pick up a good book while there's not baseball on every night to watch on TV. There's a book that came out, I don't know, about a year ago, year and a half ago, called I'm Keith Hernandez, and it's Keith's autobiography. And, you know, he includes the rough edges, too, because he was a wild guy when he was young, like some of us. Not you, of course, Dan.
No, but not at all.
But, you know, he tells the story, and it's basically his story growing up and his story becoming a Cardinal. Yeah, you know, the Mets stuff's interesting, but, the body of the story is, you know, his time as a Cardinal that made him a baseball player and a man. And if you weren't impressed with Keith Hernandez before, after you read that book, there's no way you couldn't be.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Brian Walton is our guest, thecardinalnation.com. Winter meetings going on right now. What happens from the minor league perspective? There's a lot of business that people don't understand with the winter meetings because they're looking at Steven Strasburg signing or what's the latest with player X, Y, and Z on the major league level. But, man, there is a ton of minor league business that happens at the winter meetings.
You know, and it's really at the ground floor level. If you look at the people milling around the lobbies of the hotels where these meetings are being held, and this time at the Hilton Bayfront, that there are many job seekers, young people who are, you know, have their resumes clutched in their left hand and their right hand, ready to shake hands with anybody they can meet as they're trying to find jobs in the game. And of course, where a lot of people got started was in the minor leagues, you know, getting a job, with a minor league affiliate, working your way up to eventually get a major league job. This year, of course, there's a little bit different flavor because there's sort of two camps of the 160 minor league teams. There's the teams that have a future, and then there's the list of 42 franchises that have been targeted for virtual extinction. And so, you know, the minor league teams are meeting, and they're trying to make sure that they keep a united front, even though, you know, roughly a quarter of the minor leagues are under serious threat to no longer exist in their current form. You know, this is a big deal.
Yeah, this is a huge deal. I've heard from so many people, and I did a speaking engagement in Springfield, Missouri the other night with, of course, the AA team being based there was for the university. But, you know, there is a, I always say it's a fabric of the community, that team. And Springfield's not going anywhere, but there's other teams that might. And I think it would be a shame to see that those teams would not exist anymore. And I bet you feel the same way.
I do. And again, you know, I'm biased. I'm a minor league guy at heart, but I mean, you look at a facility like the Medlar Field at Lubrano Park in State College, which is owned by Penn State University, and that, you know, the state as well, the state of Pennsylvania put $14 million in to making that beautiful baseball park possible that's shared by Penn State University and the State College Spikes. And if that team goes away, you know, that whole investment is down the drain. Plus, fans in Pennsylvania have to decide, am I going to drive 3 hours to Pittsburgh or 4 hours to Philadelphia? Because minor league baseball, as we know it, including in Williamsport, where MLB makes a big deal about the home of the Little League World Series, they've included Williamsport on the list of teams to go as well. So, you know, fans, I think Major League Baseball is so focused on the bottom line, the spreadsheet, making money, that they're losing sight of the importance of minor league baseball to develop new fans. 41 million people went to minor league games last year. That's an important lifeline for baseball as a whole, as a business. And Bud Selig, who said, hey, you know, baseball has a responsibility. It's not just a business. Baseball has a responsibility to the people. And I feel like the guys in charge now have lost sight of that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. At least what's coming out of the winter meetings concerning minor leagues that may get the attention of the casual fan is that there's the elimination of testing of marijuana in the minor leagues. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you think that will play out as the season and seasons go forward?
Well, it's important to understand that for whatever reason, baseball did not keep the details of their drug plans in sync between the majors and the minors. The Major League Baseball players haven't been tested for marijuana for years. But for whatever reason, they kept those stricter rules for the minor leaguers that were out of sync. And it just didn't make any sense, especially in today's world with the decriminalization of marijuana in, you know, now most states in the country, to take a young man and say, hey, you know, you're going to have to sit out for 50 games because you used a recreational drug, which the laws of our country are saying is okay to use. So, you know, it's great that they're making this change. It's overdue, and unfortunately, you know, some players have been hurt. Now, again, I'm not making excuses for the guys who got caught because they knew the rules and they decided to flaunt them. But, you know, it's a good thing overall, but it's sort of like, you know, why did it take so long to get everything in line?
I'm going to wrap it up with this, Brian. You read between the tea leaves a little bit, and it looks like the Cardinals are going to walk away from Marcell Ozuna. That would be my guess. And that means that they would explore, I'm sure, whether it is re-signing Marcell or another player, outfielder, it's there. But as it pertains to Dylan Carlson, at some point we're going to see him, barring injury, in 2020. My question to you would be, do you think we're going to see him at the beginning of the season? Does he break camp out of spring training, in your opinion?
I think the only way that Dylan Carlson will break camp, and it's just my opinion, obviously I don't know, I don't think anybody knows, unless Dylan Carlson comes to spring camp and hits 500 and, you know, steals bases and makes, you know, highlight reel plays in the outfield, I don't think, you know, that he's going to start the year with St. Louis. And let's not forget, unless this, you know, the number of outfielders change, there are a lot of guys ahead of him in the pecking order that need at bats. We need to see what Tyler O'Neill's got. We need to understand what Lane Thomas brings to the table when he's healthy. We need to see if a Rosarena was just a short-term wonder. You know, then you look at Justin Williams and Adolis Garcia, and right, these are guys all on the 40-man roster, and, you know, there's not enough going to be enough at-bats to go around that Dylan Carlson probably will get a big enough opportunity to earn a major league job. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, as it stands right now, there are other guys that they have to see, you know, what they have in them before they get around to Carlson. And I think, you know, maybe part of the reason that the Cardinals might be looking at other outfielders, a left-handed hitting outfielder this winter, is to say, hey, let's get another, if it's not going to be Ozuna, let's get another starter who is, you know, good enough he can hold down the fort, but isn't so good that we wouldn't be able to make him the fourth outfielder when Carlson shows he's ready.
Final question, Brian, thecardinalnation.com. What are you working on right now?
Well, we're cranking in our top 50 prospects of the year. Now we're down into the top 20. And every day a new one is unveiled. And, you know, right around the end of the year, we'll show number one, and then we'll get into some analysis articles on our new top 50 for 2020.
Love
it. And then shortly after, I'll be heading down to instructional camp in Jupiter, Florida, prior to winter warm-up.
When is instructional camp, by the way?
The first couple weeks of January.
Yeah. I may see you down there. We may have to do a podcast down there. We'll get warm.
We'll get some dirt on our shoes, huh?
I like it. Hey, Brian, thanks so much. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.